Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have nothing to talk about but feedback. But goodness gracious, is it relevant? Because it's Loki feedback, and he's the god of stories.
And it's relevant for all times, always.
For all time, always. Oh, that and more for this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Sorry, I'm trying to be in a hurry. You gotta go soon, right?
No, I have like two hours.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, I have like an hour to record,
I'll,
and then
I'll calm down,
prep my other thing. Yeah, no, you're good. No need to rush. We're lazy.
I'm thinking about you and your needs.
Thank you. That's good.
Trying to accommodate.
All right. Well, that's a good man. So we were supposed to, again, second week in a row, we were supposed to record the Thor 2 podcast. Last week, I had something come up, and you and Ashley did an AI episode. And then this week,
Ashley had something come up repeatedly.
Ashley's not feeling well. I didn't want to get too explicit with how she's feeling, but she's not feeling well.
It was so, the low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm going to tell her you called her that. I was looking through what we should talk about tonight. I looked for news. We didn't have any commission shows prepped in the last minute, but what we did have, I went through our feedback and kind of read through the feedback that we have left in our doc, and man, I feel really good about talking about Loki today, because we took a little break because I felt like for like a few weeks since we were talking Loki feedback, Loki theories, Loki whatever,
and it was Loki, like, still right. Pops up every now and again.
Oh, for sure, we talk about it almost every week, but we intentionally took a little break, and so now, yeah. I went back and just read through the Loki feedback, and I was like, man, we have gone through pages and pages and pages of feedback, and there's still so much good Loki feedback to talk about. Like, so many of these I would love to talk about, and a lot of them are novel and things that we haven't said before, or haven't really discussed before.
Question, maybe even a suggestion for the future of the podcast.
Oh, wow. This sounds big.
Should we, due to Loki's position and, like, the state that we last saw Loki in, should we change the name of all of our theories to Green String Theories?
Ooh, I see what you did there. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Red String Theories just got that classic. We could combine them and do like Christmas String Theories around the holidays.
No. If we do Christmas String Theories, it has to strictly be about holiday specials and like what holiday specials are coming out, and perhaps even how those holiday specials relate to other things. It's the Christmas web.
Yeah, okay. I feel that. Okay, so we're going to just dive right into some Loki feedback, and thank you guys for writing in all this feedback. We literally had like 30 pages of Loki feedback, and we slowly whittled it down, kind of mixing it with other things, but I was just like, you know what, let's just have a Loki-focused episode. It's been long enough. Let's do it. You guys are all so smart and have so many good theories that I dug it.
If we look at it, like, X-Men 97 comes out next week on the 20th.
Yes, the 20th. So we got 10 days. We'll probably have three more episodes. So we might do one more of these, do one to wrap up the rest of the Marvel's feedback and the rest of the kind of random feedback. And we'll be there.
Blank slate.
Maybe we'll actually finish our doc and like get through most of it. We're not gonna get through everything. But we tried to prioritize and get through as much as we could. let's do it.
So tip top of our list, we got Matthew Davis has a few thoughts, and it looks like there's an asterisk for each one, like a bullet point.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, Loki proved himself to be a hero. He Who Remains told him that to win, he had to make the hard choices. Sylvie told him that the only way to stop her from killing He Who Remains was to kill her. He Remains was goading Loki into making the hard choice of killing her. Loki resisted that and realized one hallmark of being a hero is being willing to sacrifice yourself for your friends. Much like when Steve Rogers threw himself on the grenade, Loki took on the task of literally holding together the multiverse.
All right, pausing right there at the end of that thought. Matthew, how dare you? You're another Matthew, and then you betray me by bringing up the grenade scene, knowing that it's going to make me feel things. Feel even more. Like, you're the first feedback, Matthew. How dare you?
How very dare you? You know that the grenade scene does things to Matt.
Yeah, every time. And now I'm going to have to go through this whole episode with the weighty emotional feeling of what of Captain America going, get back.
He wasn't Captain America yet.
Yeah, but he's always
Steve Rogers.
I disagree. He was always Captain America.
I mean, Captain America was inside him all along, sure,
yeah,
but
yeah.
He had not yet taken on the mantle.
Real Oz vibes.
No thanks. I love, though, that as this series has progressed, and as the character has progressed, because, like, we've recently watched Thor the Dark World, in preparation for our recap talk again, whatever you want to call it, of that, like, our going back, our rewatch.
Yeah,
of
Infinity Saga rewatch, yes.
That's the word. Good God. We recently watched that, and, like, seeing Loki then is so vastly different from this, like, God of Stories Loki.
Yeah.
And the way that you are able to compare this Loki after all of this time to Captain America, somebody who is, like, absolutely 100% willing to sacrifice himself for the people around him. And, like, Loki has come around to that. That amount of character shift is not something that should happen in one property or overnight. It has taken a decade of storytelling to get us to that point.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I freaking love that.
Yeah, me too. And I really like, and Matthew touches on it, and we're still on Matthew's first point, but he touches on it, but I really like how in the series, they make it clear, and he talks here about how Sylvie has a certain impact on him, and He Who Remains has a certain impact on him, and also expanding on that, Mobius has a certain impact on him. Yep. And he's all these characters that he's getting to know have this disparate impacts on him that, like, push him to be the god that he is, the kind of god he wants to be. And I just think it's such a cool series.
Yeah, man. Second point Matthew Davis makes is, I love how Loki is now at the heart of Yggdrasil.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real cool. Third point, way back in 1992, some friends and I went to see Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Afterward, we got into the obligatory discussion about time travel, and one friend talks about how time is circular. I replied by saying that time is like a tree, and different decisions can cause different branches to form. Damned if that theory hasn't become more prevalent, especially in the MCU. I think it's better than the spaghetti theory in The Flash, where changing a moment can cause ripples in the past as well. Why not just say that when you change something major in the past, returning to your present takes you to a different timeline? This, and then final point, they stuck this landing perfectly. It will be interesting to see where the TVA shows up next.
Well, we know that now.
Funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah, that is coming very soon. And of course, I'm going to talk about this time travel point.
Of course.
You know, like, your friend wasn't wrong. There are versions of time travel where time is a circle, and everything that happened will happen. Even in this show, there is a moment where time is a circle. We see the timeline as a circle. But...
Oh, yeah, it's around the Citadel.
Yeah. So, like, he wasn't wrong, but yes, definitely the branching timelines, a la Back to the Future. That's the first place I know that I learned about, you know, branching multiverses. I think that it is definitely more, in my mind, more logical that if you go back in time, you affect the things that you've changed an event, and the since time is moving one direction on the timeline, it should only change what happens in the future of that timeline, the actions you take. Now, sure, you could say there's some sort of like quantum level thing that's going on, and they seem to be going with something like that in The Flash. You haven't seen The Flash, right?
I've seen several seasons of The Flash.
Oh, I'm sorry, the movie.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, I didn't think you had. Do you know about the time travel that you do?
No, but based on what this guy is saying, yeah. It sounds similar to what happened in the 1602 story in Marvel.
Oh, interesting, cool.
Because like the way that the time travel to send Cap back in time happened there was like punching a hole through it rather than just like being graceful about it. And because it punched a hole, it caused ripples backwards and forwards in the timeline.
Right, and everything can change.
Right, and it like made dinosaurs still around. And
yeah, they explain it as, well, he goes to see Batman because, you know, he would. He's like, Batman, you got to help me.
I need my problem solved. Batman, help me.
Yeah, and I guess spoiler alert, but he goes there and it's the wrong Batman. Like he knows Ben Affleck as Batman. He gets there and it's Michael Keaton's Batman. And he's like, what is going on? And then he explains, he's like, Michael Keaton explains it. He's like, I've encountered some time travel in the past. And the way it works is when you change a point, and he has spaghetti on the table, and he like shows the pivot point becomes a point in time, and it like turns the spaghetti. And now you're on another timeline completely. So by traveling in time, he traveled in the multiverse, I guess you would say, to a different spaghetti strand, which I guess if you're going with that, I guess that's fine, like, but it doesn't seem it doesn't work the same like logical way. But what's interesting is at the end of the movie, big spoiler alert, because this is the post-credit sequence, the end of the movie, he jumps forward in time after he fixes some things and goes back to his present, and Bruce Wayne pulls up in a car, and he goes over to talk to Bruce thinking it's going to be Ben Affleck again, and out comes George Clooney. And it's like, that's the bit at the end of the Flash that like will never come to anything because
we're never going back to that.
Yeah, exactly. They're resetting everything. Now, who knows? Multiverses happen, and they bring back almost every version of these characters comes back in some form. Some future show will do something like The Flash did, where they bring back like all these older versions of the characters and let them all interact in Crisis or whatever.
Yeah, some sort of crisis is going to happen.
Yeah.
Infinite crises on infinite whatevers.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned these differences in time travel theory styles or whatever, because it kind of feels like we as the MCU, like we witnessed, or as the audience, we witnessed the timeline shift when Loki took on the role of like the guardian of time or whatever we want to call it, god of stories. And it took it from the timeline being circular, going around the Citadel, and being like a constant cycle that always ended up with Kang in charge. It's like Loki dragged that circle out and made that into the branching timeline have the multiverse.
Well, and that circle was always being held by like all of the branches were just being destroyed, and so the circle inherently has to lead back to the birth of Kang and the creation of Kang and him taking over the timeline. So yeah, it's really cool that they did that, like that. It's like this meta actions on time travel. The show was not about what happens when you time travel. The show was about what happens to time travel in the yeah. It's really
what happens when you break time travel.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just such a weird and fun show. It's like it's so up my alley, man. That's why I'm still want to talk about it so many months later.
That's an interesting thing though. Like if we extrapolate on that, we could say like it's potentially like it's possible for Marvel to say like, oh, because Loki changed the way that the timeline is shaped, like he changed time. Kang is no longer the problem. Like it's no longer the Kang issue that we have to worry about. And so they can write out majors without having to even really think about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely think that every, with the exception of the big, like, scene where they're all in the Council of Kang scene, with the exception of that scene, Kang feels pretty wrapped up. And, like, I do feel like they could bring him in. But the actual Kang variants that we saw feel wrapped up. And then you also have that scene at the end of Loki where they're talking about containing him, basically. So they're already on it. You know, they're, like, running around, like, the timeline containing him.
Done. Nailed it. We don't have to worry about him. Now Galactus.
Yeah.
Or now God Emperor Doom. Or
that really kind of belies the problem with the kind of power that time travel gives you.
Yeah.
Because you inherently can't solve all the problems. Like, you can't make the answer to all of the issues, you know, oh, well, the TVA could step in. You know, like, they can't fight Galactus for the time, every timeline. They have to allow sort of the natural progression of these universes. You know, if they don't, they're doing what Kang did. So they kind of have to allow for choice and problems and death and destruction. And, like, there's this sort of a, I don't know, ethical issue with sitting at the edge of time, making sure time travel problems don't happen. Sure. Making sure Kang doesn't create, like, become a dictator over time, but you're still allowing, like, you may not be pruning timelines and destroying entire universes, but you are, like, allowing for the destruction of worlds, you know?
Yeah. You're potentially allowing for the destruction of worlds because you don't care as much anymore because you're only focused on time travel issues or Kang issues, or you're still complicit in destroying worlds where Kang was a problem.
Well, sure, maybe. And that there are a lot of issues that you could discuss there. Like, there's great TVA stories to be told, I feel like, still. Yeah.
Like, is it okay for the TVA to prune timelines where it's like, this one leads to a Kang, we got to take care of it so that Kang doesn't become a problem? Like, is that okay?
Or I don't know.
I don't know if I can make that call.
Yeah, it's a tough call they have to make. And I guess, like, the line between becoming a dictator yourself is very thin and hard to walk. Like, it could be an interesting story. Interesting stories. Let's hit this next one.
Elizabeth McDermott says, "Hi, Ashley, Jeff, and Matt. Longtime listener, first-time caller here." Ashley's first on that one. I don't know if I'm okay with that. That's beside the point. Loki season 2 was incredible, and I loved it even more than the first season. I had two quick thoughts to share. One, I, too, was surprised that there was no tie-in to the Battle of New York when it was revealed that Hunter B-15's spot on the timeline was in NYC in 2012. But then I thought, maybe in her timeline, the battle never happened, and that's why she's on a branch. This is definitely just making my own headcanon that no one asked for, but oh well. And two, when Obi brings in the new TVA handbooks in the finale, I was wondering where he got them from. I thought it could be funny if the TVA has, like, preferred vendors, like print shops across the timeline, and they just pop in to get what they need. It's funny to me to think that the TVA gets their posters and books printed at, like, a Staples in 2011 or something like that. Just a silly thought. Thanks for all you do, and thanks for the extra long episodes lately. I love listening to you at work and on my commute. For all time, always, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And sorry it took so long to get to you. We always try to move the long time first times up to the near the top, at least. But we missed yours, apparently. And I really like the I don't know. There's something very, like, there's very, very creative about that. The idea that you'd have, like, not just a print shop you go to, but a specific print shop on the timeline. Like, have subcontractors that you use over and over and over, and you never have to pay your bill because you're always just going to the same one, and every time you're overwriting yourself, you know what I mean? Like,
oh my God. Oh no, Matt. Oh no. You show up. You start to print stuff. You're printing. You get as much as you need, whatever. You take it out, leave the door open, and come back and prune that timeline.
Yeah, man. It's a classic tale, the old print and prune.
The old print and prune. That's unethical as hell. Like, you're pruning a timeline just so you don't have to pay the bill?
Yeah, it's a good point. I was thinking, like...
That's real shitty.
You're going back to the same point in time, so, like, you may... Like, could just overwrite yourself, but really what you'd be doing in that case, you'd just be creating branch timelines every time you went back to that exact point. So to take this question way too seriously, it would actually probably be a big disruption if you use the, if you like kept going in to do stuff like that, but I don't know, maybe not, because the whole like, what's it called? Nexus event, like you'd have to cause a nexus event. So never mind. In this world, you could just keep using the same print shop.
Or you just go to a print shop a second after the last time you went there, mm-hmm. but it's a print shop that's like in an apocalypse, right?
Right, yeah.
So you're just like getting ever closer to it, and it's like, okay, well, we're done with the 2012 hurricane one.
Yeah.
The, you know, 2045 hurricane one.
And from the print shop's perspective, they're like, man, we have had a lot of guys in like tan suits come in today.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been a bit, this has been a run on our paper. We're almost out of everything.
I was thinking like the time door, like just appears inside the, like the Staples or whatever it was, like the,
oh, yeah.
inside the print shop, and the people there, they're going to die. So them seeing the TVA happen is just like, whatever, man, who cares?
Mm.
Because they're, you know, they're doomed anyway.
But are they making the prints for you, or are you using their equipment and
no, supplies? Yeah, it's a self-serve kind of thing. You know, they show up with a USB stick.
And okay. Just, you know, but I mean, they still have to be behind the counter to pick up your stuff and carry it over to you. I mean, sure, I guess if you went to like, see, but the spirit of the question was, it's like you have preferred vendors, right? Like you have like ones that are really good at their job.
Oh, so yeah, like, and you got to make, like, thousands of a thing. And
yeah, has to be, you like, got to go to the right size, place.
Like, posters.
We've seen the size of the TVA, like, out those windows and stuff. Like, they've got so many people that need that handbook.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And the handbook, like, I was just thinking about, like, flyers, memos, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even posters, like, if you, you know, have a regular size thing. But, like, no, yeah, yeah, the need for those handbooks is... specific to say the least.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. All right.
How do they make that happen? Do they pay for it ever?
I don't know, man.
And then on top of that, like, do they collaborate with like a marketing agency, and then like how much do they have to tell that marketing agency in order to get all of the, you know, because they have to make the graphics, they have to all the pictures.
I feel like their design has to be in-house. Like,
so like somewhere in that city
that
the TVA is, there's a marketing department that's just
you've seen all those posters, you know, like, you know, they're not going to the timeline to get those posters designed. They had too much splaining to do, as Ricky would say.
Like, I need people that look like they would go on the sign for their bathroom. Okay. I need that. Mm-hmm. And I need four of them normal. And one of them with a pyramid downward shaped head. Don't worry about why.
Yeah, definitely doing their in-house design. For sure.
Has to be. All right. And then as far as, B-15 wasn't, well, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
B-15 is a variant. Aren't each of those people that are in the TVA supposed to be a variant that caused a Nexus event?
That's a good question. We don't ever get clarification on that. No. We just know they're variants. So Loki was a variant who caused an event, and it was really controversial to bring him in and let him be a part of things. So I don't think if they're all time criminals, they would have nearly the problem with bringing Loki in. I think he was an exception. I think they were just like, they were just people from the timeline that he grabbed that had the skill sets necessary he needed, and he brainwashes them and sets them to work in the TVA.
Okay. I just find that very funny that, like, it's, you know, they're a variant, someone near them caused a Nexus event, and then, you know, they show up, the TVA shows up to solve the Nexus event, whatever, prune the timeline, and then they just, like, grab a random person. It's like, you're next. you're C-27 now.
They grab a time criminal and just a bystander.
Yeah, like, you need one criminal and one bystander.
Well, I like to think that, like, you know, as he's building his universe that is perfect, he's selecting people for their specific talents. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's building a very particular
set of skills.
Yeah, all those people have, like, she was a principal, right? B-15?
B-15 was a
doctor. No. Ravonna was the principal.
Ravonna was principal, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So she was a doctor. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. So I was just trying to think if, like, their world, their jobs, like, kind of can see, like, the principal and then how she's, like, the head of the TVA or whatever. Like,
but she hasn't been the head of the TVA or whatever. Like, she hasn't been a judge.
I'm talking about Ravonna.
Yeah, I know. Ravonna is a judge, like, now, we'll put now in quotes, because how does time work in the TVA?
Right, yeah.
But, like, we saw her in a flashback where she was a hunter. And, like, she was a hunter when Sylvie was originally gotten, like, when Sylvie was found to be a Nexus Loki or whatever.
Right. Okay.
So, she used to be a hunter and is now a judge. So, like, she didn't come in to be a judge, I guess, or unless that was, like, a training program. Like, you have to do a week in every position to make sure you understand the
ball. Just happens to be Loki.
Yeah, just pick Sylvie's your favorite.
Week or whatever. Yeah. No, yeah, that's a good point. They do seem to change and go through different
positions. Yeah, it seems like there's promotions.
Yeah. That's, like, weird.
There's a whole office culture there.
I kind of had the idea in the season one that, like, they were just all in their positions, and we talked about them having their minds wiped back then, even though we didn't know. It just seemed like it. Like, the coffee stains on the whatever, we were like, oh, that seems like it's been there before. And he doesn't remember it. I just assumed they were all in the same positions all the time. But yes, it does seem at least Ravonna has moved up. So that's weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, I never really thought about this. But, like, they go to a timeline, they prune that timeline, which we now know. We discussed over time that when they prune these timelines, they're not actually killing. Maybe they're not. Maybe the timeline doesn't actually fully exist yet. It's just this, like, sort of, like, localized event when they destroy a timeline, you know? But in season two, they make it very clear that when they destroy a timeline, they're destroying a timeline. Like, they're destroying, like, they're destroying all of it.
Everything in the universe.
So, It now kind of is weird that they, like, do a trial at all. You know, like, that they bring the time criminal back. It just seems like it would cause issues, which it seems to. They could just go and set off the charge, right? Like, just prune it and leave.
Yeah, just go prune.
I guess maybe they learn something from those criminals as they bring them back. The Nexus, beings or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe?
I don't know. It's weird.
That is a weird thing.
Yeah.
You're not wrong there.
Yeah. Why bring any of those guys back? Like, I think about, like, the weird guy who's, like, a crypto bro in season one.
Who's, oh, yeah. Like, in that first episode, who's just like, my dad owns a dealership or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Whatever
and
it is.
He brings him in and it's like, why did you need to bring him back? Like, what's he going to tell you?
Prune him.
Yeah, exactly. So what's he going to tell you that Kang doesn't already know?
Well,
and what did he do? What was his Nexus event? Like, some of these things are a little, like, suspect when you start excavating them a little bit.
Like, there's a few questions there. Like, what was his Nexus event?
Mm-hmm.
What? Why bring him back at all?
Yeah.
And how is it that it's okay for whoever the hell that guy is when he was like, no ticket? Or what? Sorry. When he didn't have his ticket, he's just okay with pruning him.
Like, yeah.
If you're gonna bring him back to question him,
yeah,
maybe pruning them while they're there is not okay.
Exactly. If it's important enough to send a team to extract them, and you're not just sending a team to, like, hang out outside the building and prune their timeline or whatever. Like, it's important enough to, okay, I can justify some of that. Like, maybe they have to go to the Nexus event itself. Like, maybe that's where pruning is possible. It makes pruning possible.
That's all well and good, but, like, show up at the place where the Nexus event is happening, put the charge down, set it, leave.
Exactly. Like, why do the rest? Why drag Loki back?
Someone through a portal and completely upend their lives?
Yeah.
Or, and why have a trial? Like, as if there in some way is a potential potential for them to be innocent?
Yeah, yeah. There's a little suspect there. We never, you know, I said if you excavate it a little bit, it starts to be suspect. But I will say, it took us like 3 years of talking about it before we got to that point. So I either feel stupid for never really thinking about that. Who knows? Maybe like episode 700 of this podcast, we had the same conversation, but I don't remember it. I never remember questioning why they would bring Loki back. You know, that's actually like a really common like technique in filmmaking, or like where like they do, your characters do a thing, and it just like seems like they should have done it, so you never question it. You know?
Yeah, it's just okay.
Yeah. Have you ever, you've seen Serenity? Right?
Yeah.
There's the scene where River has fought through a bunch of dudes on a planet, and it was when he's like kicking her off the ship, and then she causes this big problem and almost kills some people and all this stuff, and then the scene ends with the main character picking her up and bringing her back onto the ship, and it's like, one of the writers asked him, or like one of the producers as they were working, it was like, what? He kicked her off the ship. She caused a big problem. Then he brings her back on the ship to be a bigger problem. Why would he do that? Like, if she's kicking her off the ship, and Joss Whedon apparently was like, I never questioned. That's just who his character is. He would do that. Like, he would get her because, which does make sense, but it's just funny when you think about like some actions characters take and you're just like, wait. Like, you don't question it for a really long time, and then one day you're just watching, you're like, wait a second, why are they doing that?
But why, though?
But why, though?
But why, though? Maybe. Oh, here we go. Nailed it. Mm-hmm. Every bit of it has just become clear. They have the trial, and there is a declaration of innocence or guilt, and the innocent ones are then reappropriated into people that work at the TVA.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely possible. But it seems they don't know their variants. So even if they're doing that, they're bringing them on and then wiping their memories before they go out to work on the TVA. Yeah. So it's just sort of
weird. So what's the point of the trial still?
Yeah, what's the point of all the trials? If you're just
going to wipe their memory. It's like, at that point, you're saying that like somebody bad doing something bad on the timeline that causes Nexus event and like not being sorry for it or whatever. Like,
yeah,
that is like integral to their being and like ingrained in their DNA.
Right. And right.
Is it nature or is it nurture?
Yeah.
Like you're pretty much confirming one way or the other.
Leaning real hard on the nature there, which, yeah, as we discussed, like I tried to come up with a theory about like maybe Ravonna was like working with kids. She's a principal. Now she's working with like all these agents kind of under her, yep, sort of a similar job. She's
good at administration.
I mean, she does have like an office that feels like a principal's office, you know, like, yeah, she has the head office, but like
that administration life, it's in your blood. Like that doesn't,
yeah,
leave you.
Yeah. That doesn't leave you no matter what your nurture is.
Yeah. No matter how many times your mind's wiped, that shit stays with you. Reset me all you want. I'm going to still be organized.
Yeah. Tell that to my sciatica. Oof. Sit at a desk all this time. It never leaves me. It never leaves me. It's part of
your identity.
Yep. No matter how many times I'm pruned, the sciatica remains. I'll be in the void trying to run from a life.
Ow, God, ow.
Butt cheek keeps clenching up.
Yep. I mean, at that point, you're just like, man, do it. Just fucking do it.
Sorry, the sciatica has been like the only thing I've been thinking about for 3 days. It has, sure, gotten terrible. I took your advice and I called the massage place that you recommended. Yeah. So hopefully I'll be feeling better after my massage tomorrow.
Nice. Did, yeah, you pick the hip pain therapy?
I did, yeah. And then they got me some guy they say is really good. I'm like, great. I have no idea. I don't ever get massages, but like I think it's necessary. Hopefully, sure, Jeff is right, and this will be the thing that clears me up a little bit.
Yeah.
I did some stretching that seems to have helped a little bit, but like there was a couple days where it's just like I just can't get comfortable no matter what, yeah, I do. Like I cannot find a position that works for comfort.
These kinds of people are like these people at the place that I sent you to. They were able to like, they looked at me and like the way that I was sitting on the table, they were like, you probably got problems here, here, here. And I bet that hurts. And I was like, how did you pick me apart so easily? Like, it was just my posture. Like, they know what they're doing.
Nice. I love it. That's cool. So, I've had some hard times sleeping because of all these positions, flopping and flipping and trying to get right. But, you know, I fall asleep pretty quick because I got extreme comfort around me.
Yeah.
And that's because of my Miracle Made bed sheets. Oh, yes, my Miracle-Made bed sheets. I'm not joking. They are so comfy. They're so luxurious. They're so soft and comfy and wonderful. And then, like, they feel sealed in and covered up, but not too hot.
That's the big thing for me.
If I'm
sweaty, I can't sleep.
And you're never not sweaty.
I'm never not sweaty, except when I'm under these silver-infused fabrics.
You should absolutely check them out. Self-cooling properties for better quality sleep. They have silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA, and they do thermoregulation, and they're designed to keep you at the perfect temperature all night long so you get better sleep every night. The silver also makes them self-cleaning, and they prevent 99.7% of bacterial growth. And as I mentioned, just comfort and quality, baby. They feel like luxurious sheets from a fancy hotel or something. I really love them. So stop sleeping on bacteria. It can clog your pores, cause breakouts and acne. Sleep clean with Miracle.
Part of the thing that I love about the silver-infused fabrics there is that the silver actually destroys the bacteria, like at a molecular level. It eviscerates bacteria by puncturing their cell walls. And I just think that that's really brutal and amazing. And
yeah.
I love sleeping in metal like that.
Yeah, it's very metal. Very metal and very metal.
Yep, exactly. So go to trymiracle.com/MCU to try Miracle Made Sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo code MCU at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/MCU and use the code MCU to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/MCU to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Yes, thank you very much, Miracle Made. And you guys can support this podcast and get great bed sheets at that web address.
And towels.
And towels. trymiracle.com/MCU. All right, man. Let's get back into it. Let's get through a few more of these wonderful feedbacks.
Amanda says, "Hey, guys, the season finale blew all my ideas and theories out the window. To see Loki sitting on that throne, as a Marvel fan who's watched since the beginning, it's a crazy thing to see. Who knew we'd all be cheering for Loki to be king at the end of it all? Although it's exciting to see, I feel like it may be short-lived. Not to be all depressing, but I guess my question for you guys is, with all the new movies coming, such as Secret Wars, Kang Dynasty, does that mean Loki doesn't sit on the throne for too long? I would assume even with Loki's sacrifice, it still ends up bringing us into a multiversal war after all. Is Loki just hoping the TVA can control the chaos and allow others to enjoy the ability of free will in the meantime, before it all comes to a head? I wonder, is it Kang's variants that destroy everything, or will it be allowing choice across the universe that will descend us all into darkness? It totally makes sense that Loki would be the one bearing the burden to let all the branches live. I would assume that's how Deadpool, X-Men, Venom, Fantastic Four, all those tie into this one. My guess is Deadpool is a separate branch, and so is Wolverine, and with the branches crossing over, i.e. Wolverine being in Deadpool's dimension, possibly, will that ultimately create an incursion which will lead to the destruction of it all? I think it would be epic to have, in the post-credit scene for Deadpool, like, we see Loki at the end of time, watching the events of Deadpool, and he's just completely annoyed. And then we see Miss Minutes walk up to Loki and say something like, I told you so. And Loki just rolls his eyes and tells her to go look for a man named Reed Richards. So many thoughts and theories from just an amazing season finale and possibly series finale. Keep up with all the red string theories. I think you guys are always onto something. Special shout out to Ashley and all her Loki hair flipping commentary. I thought the same thing, girl. Love y'all 3000, Amanda.
Mm. I think a lot of this is still really relevant. You know, she's writing all this stuff about how it may be these timelines will intersect and all this stuff. But little did we even know at that point, little did we hope for that the Deadpool trailer would reveal so much TVA tie-in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like direct TVA tie-in.
And the Void, like, and Eliath and all that stuff being in the movie, like, is like more than I could have ever hoped for. I really thought like maybe one day we'll see some show revisit the Void, but like did not expect for such a huge event movie to be the one that does it, you know?
We were excited that Deadpool and Wolverine were going to be in the same movie, you know? Yeah. Like that was enough. It was like Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman together again, brothers to the end, like at last, huzzah.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh no, but also TVA and the Void and everything from that we've seen in Loki is important and relevant and impactful to the rest of the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that I'm most excited about is that this TV show on Disney Plus is having such an impact on movies.
Yes, 100%.
Especially like such important and popular franchises as Deadpool.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how they thread that needle because, like, you know, we saw it done with Multiverse of Madness, and I think I like Multiverse of Madness a lot, but I do think it sort of leaves some viewers behind because they don't do a good job of explaining what Wanda's been through. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And don't do a good job explaining who her kids are or any of that stuff. And I wonder if... I feel like they've had enough time to learn that lesson that they could include the TVA, but give enough information that like it's not so... you know, it doesn't turn off people who haven't seen Loki.
Yeah.
But also maybe inspires people to go see Loki if there's some sort of cameo or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's potential for the TVA to be present and Loki to never even show up. Like,
yeah,
Loki could absolutely be potentially mentioned like in the background on something like an Easter egg, but the TVA is like they're far enough separated from where Loki is now that like they may not even be relevant. Like, as far as talking about Loki.
Yeah, for sure. And I wonder, it makes me interested that they're using a different TVA agent. It just seems like if you were going to do this, it would be the obvious choice to let Owen Wilson, a big movie star, like, be in this movie after he just played Mobius and, like, you've already got this established character. But... It makes me like think about like what is Deadpool gonna do to this guy that they're not wanting to do to Owen Wilson? To That's Mobius. Really like yeah to Mobius. Yeah. Like what is? I feel like Deadpool is gonna end this guy's story poorly, and maybe they didn't want to do that to the beloved Mobius character.
Yeah. I like though that okay. I guess preface like. It's pretty easy to just throw a cameo in of Owen Wilson somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Of Mobius and Mobius doing something, doing his job somewhere else. And, like, that allows us to reference that existing character, that existing beloved character, but also show that the TVA is more than just him. Like, it is a sure. big organization with a ton of people. We need to see some of that rather than just, like, background cars flying through the air kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And I think that this is an opportunity to really drive that home.
Yeah. One thing that's changed since Amanda sent her feedback that is interesting is like, it seems like they're not doing the multiverse saga anymore, at least in the same way. It's still going to be the multiverse saga, but it's not going to necessarily lead to a multiverse war since Kang may be being written out. Oh, so if they don't do a multiverse war, if they get rid of Kang Dynasty, if they get rid of Secret Wars, what if they kind of take a break from like big, you know, multiverse ending stakes for a minute and they retool these movies and then we just get, you know, the combining of the universes, but don't have to deal with that. She's talking about how, you know, he won't be there long, but like, what if it's, you know, another 10 years before they decide to like deal with all the incursions and like the threats that those are causing, you know?
Yeah. Well, even so, like, we could be dealing with incursions and like the individual one-off situations through movies for several years at this point, because like, you know, the incursions become more and more frequent until the universes collide in the Secret Wars lead up. And like that sort of thing is like, you know, there can be an Avengers versus X-Men kind of story baked into that.
Yeah, there can.
And like we can have an AVX sort of thing that's defined within the confines of these, you know, universes colliding and eventually get to you know, they came together in battle and create a battle world to, you know, Secret Wars events happens, whatever. Like, you know, this was the best solution that everybody could come up with. And that's why there are pieces of the worlds together, because they tried to please everybody and be like, okay, you have a slice of the pie, you got a slice of the pie, whatever.
Yeah.
And that could more easily kind of explain that, and then still allow Loki to be, you know, trying to hold everything together for as long as he can.
Yeah, totally. They definitely could. I think they could just, you know, bring people in and not deal with the big multiverse threat yet, and like just have it happen. Have normal stories on the timeline for a while that just sort of, you know, get us back to grounded before we go and do some big Secret Wars thing. But I will be disappointed if Secret Wars doesn't happen. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah. There's also the possibility that it starts off as just like the fabric between these universes is thinner at certain points, and like maybe visitation can happen and idea swapping, and then something occurs where like an incursion is a forceful event that like destroys a city or something, and they find out that it was because of the incursion, the other universe, they blame them, and then it becomes a war between those two. And then it turns into AVX.
Yeah.
And like it could progress slowly into that.
Yeah, I think they're sort of the slowing down of production of the movies is buying them time in like the real world, but I also think it buys them time that they can just decide to do something different. And they can kind of like spread out this story that's heading towards that eventual multiversal war, Secret Wars, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And those foundational stories that were going to be there for Secret Wars are not necessarily coming out as quickly. So, like, you got some time to let it sit in the oven, you know?
Yes, you cook. Do. Yes, you do.
All right, next up, we've got Caleb Shelby. I love this opening line. I love it. It's, oh my God, of stories! Caleb says, hello, true believers. What a way to end the season and the Loki series. They were very intentional with every episode and kept me wanting more each time. I'm looking forward to seeing how this version of Loki is used in future projects, because I just know we are not done with him yet. I have a theory that is simple as saying variety. Varieties in quotes there. We saw Ravonna see something purple in the sky while in the void. What if this is the Kang from Quantumania being sent here? What if this is the Kang from Quantumania being sent there? As we learn from this season, Kang is always paving roads. We also know that this Kang already fought the Avengers before. What if he knew fighting Ant-Man would end up sending him right to where Ravonna would be? I believe he needs her to start the multiversal war, and he needs her to be what Miss Minutes couldn't. Thank you, Jam, for all the content. You guys have a glorious purpose to entertain me as I commute to and from work. Last thing, hashtag Loki loafers for all time and always, Candid Panda Caleb. I love Loki loafers.
It's a good
those
hashtag.
Those things look so comfy.
They do. They look very nice. I think that is, it's possible. That there's a Kang variant in there, and that's that purple light. I assumed it was Eliath, because that's where she goes. And now, this is my future knowledge that Caleb didn't have at the time, but now that we know Eliath is still in the void, because we discussed it being Eliath, but then we were like, well, is Eliath still around if the TVA isn't functioning the same? And if, you know,
Sylvie enchanted him.
Yeah, Sylvie enchanted him. What happened to him when they, like, opened up that big hole? Like, did that kill Eliath? Is he still there?
Does that destroy Eliath?
Apparently not. So, I have to think that moment is just Eliath, like, descending on Ravonna.
Yeah. Probably?
But they don't show her get taken, so... Either way, either I think she's going to get away from Eliath, or it could be a Kang variant, in which case could really lead to some fun things with, you know, her dealing with another Kang variant that she's trying to figure out if she can trust or not. Like, she clearly wants to serve and trust a Kang variant, but they keep screwing with her, you know?
Yep.
So maybe this is the one that she can love.
Is this the one that can take me to queendom?
Yeah. Can I be queen now? Can I be queen now?
Can I just be queen already? I think it'd be really funny too, though, if, like, that was just Eliath and she doesn't get away and we just never see her again.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, you know, Caleb mentions, like, I'm certain we're gonna see Loki again. I think everyone in this series, the way they ended it, we could see none of them ever again, and it would be like a nice end to their story.
Yeah.
But we could also see almost any of them again because of the way that the mechanics of time travel work in this world and the way the multiverse works. Like, any of these characters could show up. We could have Hunter B-15, you know, being a doctor on the timeline, you know what I mean? Like, she could just be the variant that is from the main timeline being a doctor, and that would be wonderful to see, you know? It could, it's just weird. Yeah, it's wild how, like, we could never see any of them again. It's a nice resolution, but they didn't waste any characters. Like, they could all come back to do something. Yeah.
I mean, at any point, any of them that we've seen, dead or alive, could be a variant in you know, in universe. Because all of the ones that we've seen have been variants from branch timelines that were pruned.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that means the main one is still there.
Yeah, exactly. Unless they, you know, were supposed to die, and that's how they're a variant or whatever.
Oh, right. You didn't die when you were supposed to, so we're going to keep you alive. You want to live? You're going to work.
It's called capitalism. Oh, man.
You want to live? You're going to stay. You're going to work. Here's your handbook.
Here's your handbook.
Go print 500 more of these.
Get to pruning. Go to Staples in 2011 and get to prune and print and prune.
Print and prune, baby.
Print and prune.
Oh, shit.
All right. Well, I think it's about all we got time for today. I do have another podcast to prep for.
Yeah.
We really appreciate all of you guys for hanging out and listening, even in this off time. A lot of you guys are still listening out there, and it really means a lot. I'm just happy that you want to be here with us and hang out, and hopefully we've got some cool stuff planned for the rest of the year. We got some cool episodes we're talking about, and we're trying to put on an event and go to Dragon Con this year. And so if you're considering going to Dragon Con, look into it. I'm fairly certain we are going to be there, and if people come, we will have some sort of meetup, if not a party or you know, some panels and such. So Dragon Con in Atlanta.
I would say us going to Dragon Con is like 90% certain at this point.
I'm 100% in.
Okay. You and I, 100% in. We are going to be at Dragon Con. So if you want to meet me and Matt, come to Dragon Con.
Yeah. We've been wanting to get a plan together before we kind of announced it for sure. Because we wanted to have panels to announce and all that stuff, but they're not deciding all of that yet. So, like, it's getting closer. I think it's
at the end of this month.
Yeah. So we got to, well, we want to go ahead and mention it. So it's our 10 year anniversary, and we're going to be dang close to 1,000 episodes. So,
if not on.
Yeah. So we're hoping to do some panels and stuff for that. And so if you live in the area, or if you don't, and you want to just like, come hang out with us and meet some pandas and see some panels, and it's a con. It's going to be fun anyway. So come hang out at Dragon Con in Atlanta. Yeah. So hopefully we'll meet some pandas over there. Other than that, we'll see you guys soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/mcucast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.